hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. No, you'll never make a monkey out of me. Oh my God, I was wrong. It was Earth all along. You finally made a monkey.
Yes, we finally made a monkey.
Yes, you finally made a monkey out of me. I love you, Dr. Zaius.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another Schlock and Awe Quickie Review. As always, I'm Lindsay Wilkins. And this week, we're going to be looking at a director. A newish director, I guess. I'm not entirely sure whether he deserves this much attention as this episode is going to be giving him, but I guess now he has my attention, as in the Leo Django Unchained meme. And that is, of course, Wes Ball. Wes Ball has a new movie out, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which is opening all around the world this weekend. And also, as I like to do doubles, we are going to be pairing his new movie with one of his first, again, a start of another trilogy. Well, technically it was meant to be a quadrilogy until they ran Dylan O'Brien over, Maze Runner. Let's get into it. The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
I will find them. I will bring them home.
To survive, remember your strength, your compassion, your mercy. Why do they hunt her? She knows the human secrets.
I have a name. May. I know where they're taking your clan.
You chose a human over an ape.
This was a human place. It is not yours.
It is now, isn't it?
The elders did not tell us everything about this world.
Nor bend for your king.
Look, I love me some apes. You're going to put an ape, a dinosaur, or a giant lizard who happens to shoot radioactive flame at people? I'm generally going to be into the movie. This is my jam. This is what I love. Other people, they are more Marvel. They are more superheroes. They are more Batman. They are more Star Wars. They are more Dune. Me, post-apocalyptic planet run by apes. I mean, I think I am planning to illegally, probably wrongly, considering Disney does in fact own it. They in fact own Planet of the Apes as well. So actually kind of fitting. Thank you, Fox. The Simpsons Troy McClure Planet of the Apes musical. And it's one of my favorite Simpsons jokes of all time. I saw this, the first movie as a teenager, and was thoroughly confused by it, mainly because I didn't know why Charlton Heston was kissing Mira, played by Kim Hunter. But the movie is fantastic. And during the pandemic, I sat down and I watched all the movies, even including the Tim Burton one, which, yeah, is not great. So if we have, say, a standard between what I think is the best ape movie, Escape from the Planet of the Apes from 1971, and at the lowest, Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes remake, which has Mark Wahlberg looking so angry that he said yes to an ape movie and wants to call everyone nerd, but then doesn't want to do anything with the story, which is a really subversive story. We're going to see how Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes really kind of fits into that. Of course, as I said, it's the directed by the man of the hour, Wes Ball. It, of course, stars Owen Teague, if you may know from the Patrick Hofstadter, the mega bully in It Chapter One, and It chapter two technically is played by a different actor, but he plays young Patrick Hofstadter. Freya Allen, not from my favorite movie of the year, Baghead. Kevin Durant, who quietly was great in Abigail and is quietly great in this movie. Kevin is actually having a hell of a 2024. Peter Macon, which I'm probably butchering that, as Wrecker, again, probably the best character in the movie. William H. Macy and a whole bunch of other people. Look, it this when I'm recording this, the proper cast list has not really been put out yet. I think I got all the main guys, so I'm probably missing some actors. Yeah, it's Planet of the Apes. I mean, if you don't know the story already, it is, well, apes have taken over the Earth. Depending on which franchise you're more familiar with, whether you're familiar with the five movies from the 1968 through to 1973, or you're more familiar with the trilogy, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and War for the Planet of the Apes, essentially ends in the same place. Apes are now smart, ride horses, know how to use a gun, and have taken Earth as their own, whereas humans have decreased in intelligence and are now much like apes are now. Or if you know the original series, it is a berserk, mental, subversive, weird ass series that is a time loop. It's essentially a time travel story because Charlton Heston was wrong because it was Earth all along. Yeah, I'm going to keep quoting that Simpsons joke. Seriously, the fact they're just saying Dr. Zaius for like a minute is genius. And it's this time loop of battle between ape and human and trying to get to supremacy, but it just ends in a loop of cycle and violence where we just keep destroying each other or end ourselves. It is very bleak, it's very dark, and I love it. And I do also love, especially Matt Reeves, Dawn and War, though War, I think he does go a little touch too emo. Dawn is almost a perfect movie, and that is mainly because Andy Serkis' performance as a CGI rendered ape Caesar. The fact that you can still see his face, I don't know, it's, if you've never seen them, please go see them. They're amazing. And then you can watch Kingdom and also have a hoot. Because I did actually overall enjoy Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Do I think it's as good as Dawn and War? No. Do I think it's as good as Escape from the Planet of the Apes? Where Mira and Cornelius go back in time after Charlton Heston has in fact blown up the Planet of the Apes, Earth, and now they are back in 1971. Look, as I said, the time travel is very squiffy, but is it as good as that? No. Is it as bad as Tim Burton's 2001 Planet of the Apes? No, it definitely does not reach that level of blandness. Even though Rick Baker's makeup is chef kiss and phenomenal in that, and Paul Giamatti plays an orangutan, and as we learn with these movies, the orangutan is usually the best one. For me in the rankings, it's probably near the bottom. It's somewhere near Battle for the Planet of the Apes, if I'm being honest, and maybe around Beneath, which is the second one. I don't love those two as much as the other ones, though Beneath does have psychics and it's weird as all hell. Anyway, I should really get back to the movie that we're talking about instead of getting sidetracked by ape talk. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which is, I think, is the fourth time I've tried to get onto this, starts 300 years after the death of Caesar, who was played by Andy Serkis in the original. In fact, even though I did miss this because I was running late, trying to get to work to the theater for the screening was me running, and you don't want to see me run. Ends with Caesar's funeral. It is, of course, Maurice, who has a cameo, apparently, which I'm very disappointed about because Maurice is the best of us. Same with like Zira or Zuri. And then it says many generations after. And we are in a more pastoral, very nature first village with a whole bunch of chimpanzees who we first meet. Noah, played by Owen Teague, who his face is all over, which I kind of like about these apes movies, is even though they're because the actors are playing the characters and it's rendered, so you can still see the actor's face on the ape, not as well as Dawn and War. I will say that even the CGI is great compared to what we've had in the last 5 years. You compare the CGI to Dawn and War, it's a little bit loose, but as I said, those movies are amazing, and I think they actually gave their CGI artist breaks during that and time to work on those movies. And this one is, you could tell they've made her a little bit more time as well. And they are in this iconic, beautiful, idyllic village where everything's just very simple, very beautiful. And they raise hawks, so there's a lot of birds. Noah's troubles are very normal for a young adult. I mean, this is a teenager going out into the world adventure. And he doesn't get on with his father. He wants to raise a hawk. There's a weird human that might be following him around, and they don't, well, who they call Echoes, and they don't like that. And this is all destroyed because another ape clan has just invaded and conquered and kidnapped or murdered the whole entire village. They've taken them somewhere else. So it is, that is the first few minutes of the movie. The action sequences are pretty good. A lot of them are in the dark, so it made it a little bit fuzzy, but you know, it's a good way to hide some CGI. So Noah must go on a hero's journey to become an adult, find his place in society, also save his village. Along the way, he meets a whole host of different characters. A human who is not like the other humans, as in she wears pants, so you know that she's not more animal. She is definitely more human. And in fact, the trailers do say that she speaks, yeah, my name is May. And it sort of goes on from there. Of course, so you, this movie is very, and then this happens, and then this happens, which is why I think this movie is very bulky. 2.5 hours. I think this is too long for an ape movie in general, because I think the most successful Planet of the Apes movie is keep it simple. It is very ape versus human, ape versus ape. It's when you try to add other subplots in, which I think this movie does, I think it clutters it up, because I think this, I don't have the author's name off the top of my head. It's the same guy, French author, who wrote Bridge Over the River Kwai. So the original Planet of the Apes is very much a movie about war and about destruction. Humans destroying themselves, and then all of a sudden now apes have evolved to be on top of the food chain. Charlton Heston, just, or the character in the book, but essentially Charlton Heston in the 1968 movie, cannot accept this. It's not until he realizes that he is still on Earth and this is Earth's future that it essentially breaks him. So war and destruction and the power are enough nuance to fill in the gaps in between. You do see this with Dawn and War quite a bit. I didn't get a chance to rewatch Rise, but I'm pretty sure that has a lot of table setting. But Dawn and War are very simple. Caesar has his tribe, they're living in the woods. Humans want to use to refix a hydro generator dam so they can give power so they can survive, because humans need power. Apes don't have to. Well, humans don't, but to make them what they think is human, they need power. War is Caesar getting his tribe to a safe place away from war, and what he has to go through to achieve that, and war, what war does to him, the choices that he makes in Dawn come up to bite him on the ass. This one is a lot of table setting, though it is the first in a supposed trilogy. I don't, well, we'll see if that's going to come to fruition. So there is maybe a bit too much exposition for what an ape movie needs, because all you need's apes can talk. Apes are sentient. Well, apes are really sentient. They aren't, they are human intelligence, I guess you could say. Though what it does turn into, which I actually did kind of enjoy, it does turn into a game of Civilization Ape Edition, because the main bad guy, of course, played by Kevin Durant as Proximus Caesar, pretty much found out about the Roman Empire and said, I want that, which, as Nadine Whitney pointed out after the screening, men cannot really stop thinking about the Roman Empire, can they? Which is kind of true. The Roman Empire is this weird pinnacle of what power is. I don't necessarily think that's true. I think it was the Roman Empire. I mean, whatever. It's not the only way to live. And also then you have May's, actually, I do like the fact that May isn't necessarily sidekick to Ape or friend to Ape. She's got her own agenda as well. Everyone has their own agenda in this movie, which is why it's very close to replaying Civilization or War or whatever those board games are. So it does get very in the weeds, because everyone keeps looking up at the sky and kind of referencing planets and space. you are waiting for a certain astronaut to come down and go, hold on, what are all the apes doing here? That could change what this is, because this is definitely linked to the first trilogy. Even though the original five movies are a time loop and essentially a time travel story, the new movies are very much more linear. I've kind of realized that we're never going to get a subversive ape movie ever again. It's too expensive to make these things. And there's definitely, you can tell this movie's PG-13. There is some really soft edges around where they could have gone harder. But again, it's a blockbuster. It's going to do what it's going to do. I really did enjoy a lot of performances. As I said before, Peter Macon and Kevin Durant, fantastic. Owen Teague is good. William H. Macy comes in briefly and is pretty good. The orangutan is the best of all of us. God, I love an orangutan. It's Freya Ellen is okay. I still don't think I've forgiven her for Baghead, which is not her fault. She's actually okay in the movie. But I think that whole subplot kind of brought the movie down a little bit. There's even a point I was wondering if you could rejig this movie not to have the human element, at least yet. I know it's coming because that's where the story is ultimately going to go, but I didn't think you needed of it so much in this movie. Though I do like she has her own agenda. She's not necessarily with the apes. She's got her own thing going on and her own plan. Though more importantly, there's some really interesting ideas that, of course, because this is a modern blockbuster, do get dropped in the third act. But there are some really interesting ideas of how history, once it becomes mythologized, is often bastardized and often used for someone's own purposes. And this, of course, is Caesar, who always said, ape shall not kill ape. And when apes are together, they are stronger. And if this, of course, is taken by Proximus Caesar, who's also found out about Roman history, is gone, oh no, I'm just going to conquer everything. And I am Caesar. Apes are strong. When we're together, therefore I will enslave all the other apes to do my bidding. Not what, see, if you, of course, seen the Caesar movies, that's not what he was talking about at all. This thinking and religion can change. I mean, there was one point I thought they were going to bring the Bible into it, which I would have not been a fan of personally. But it is that idea of how things change throughout time and their meaning can change depending on who was wielding that piece of information. I wish this is an idea that had gone carried through the movie more, but it didn't. Also, it does have the typical ape thing of if you seek power, it will ultimately destroy you, which I think is a very ape thing that has gone through since the 1968 movie right through to 2024. I love how the ape movies keep going. I love how this is a sneaky trilogy that's always better than you think it's going to be, because I think a lot of people think of it like Jurassic Park. Then you get Jurassic Park Dominion, but we have never gotten an ape Dominion yet. I am now jinxing that. And then the second movie, when they bring out the sequel to Kingdom, I'm going to be like, oh no, where's Campbell Scott and his granola bars? I need that as I needed it in Dominion. I think because this series is grounded in such a rich text of the first Planet of the Apes, and I have not read the book, so I can't say that, but the first Planet of the Apes is filled with such rich text that there is so much you can milk from it, even if I think you need to keep the movie simple. And do I think it needed to be 2.5 hours? No, I think there's a lot of hanging around that I didn't necessarily need, even though I think, as we'll get into with Maze Runner, I think Wes Ball loves world building, and this has a lot of it, and there's a lot you can do with the world building, like going through a dilapidated city where nature has overgrown it. I love stuff like that. I really love when nature has reclaimed something, especially in a dystopian movie, and you just get the relics of what's left. There's a lot of that in this movie. I love it. I love how the apes are kind of appropriating these old relics to kind of rebuild it into something else. All that stuff is great. I just wish it was a little bit tighter. And all my complaints is because I watched Dawn and War just before I watched this one. And I think those movies are fantastic. Even though I do have issues with War, I think Matt Reeves has a tendency to go emo a little bit too much. And I think that movie tortures its characters more than it needs to. But I think it is still a really good piece of cinema. And to then go watch Kingdom, which is not, Wes Ball is just not as good as Matt Reeves, it's unfair, because I still think Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes has a chance of being one of the best blockbusters of the year. I mean, and Dune 2 is obviously going to get it, but I think Kingdom also is going to be in that conversation. Even though it's not as good as Dawn and War, Owen Teague is just not Andy Serkis, and that's not a fair comparison. So yeah, I think definitely go see this movie, especially if you love your apes. I mean, we are getting spoiled for ape movies, and I'm even putting Monkey Man in that because Dev Patel is harnessing the spirit of, I cannot remember the god's name. Sorry, I just randomly brought this up, of the monkey god in Hinduism, and its aspect I love. And of course, with Kong X Godzilla, or Godzilla X Kong, whichever it is awesome because Kong has a toothache. They gave Kong a toothache. How cool is that? I think, yeah, go see it. It is a lush looking movie. It is a world that is created, and I love this world. I love being there. I want to hang out with the orangutans. I think me and Raka would be friends. Just like me and Marie, because I'm already best friends with Marie, so I can be friends with Raka as well. Definitely go see it. I think I do like this a lot. I think I gave it 3.5 stars on Letterboxd. So I am a fan. And also, we're going to go on to an earlier Wes Ball to see where it all started from. And that is, of course, his Maze Runner from 2014. Sorry, I was going to say 2012.
Who put us here?
We don't know.
What's through there?
You guys can't just keep me here.
I can't let you leave.
Why won't you tell me what's out there?
That's the maze. Every morning when those doors open, the runners look for a way out. And no one has ever survived a night in the maze.
What happens to them?
We call them grievers.
We don't belong here.
Somebody built the maze. I think it's time we find out what we're really up against.
You're not like the others. You're curious.
What the hell is that?
This is the first real clue. You found it.
Who knows where this might lead us?
It's a girl.
Thomas.
Everything started changing the moment you showed up.
What if we were sent here for a reason?
The doors aren't closing.
They're here.
Now, Maze Runner is also a series. It is based on an apocalyptic novel. This is a young adult apocalypse. I can't remember when the book was originally written. I think in the early 2010s. The Maze Runner movies came out on the glut of that. You can call it a glut of young adult post-apocalyptic movies. I would take it back to Twilight with this, with the sort of the romance, that young adult kind of surge that we had from about 2009 to about 2018 when it really started to die out. I mean, just look at, well, the reason why they didn't finish these four books is because they almost killed, as I said, Dylan O'Brien, and then COVID happened. And then also Divergence. Did they make the fourth movie for that? I can't remember, but it is part of that. So this is a movie I didn't go near. I have seen the second Hunger Games, most of the Hunger Games movies. Like, I've seen the second Twilight movie, which I did not like, and I did not like that Hunger Games movie I saw. So I think I was going into Maze Runner a little bit. They're in a maze, they're running dystopian. Okay. And to be fair, there is a lot of what I described. That is the movie. It follows a young adult novel to a T, which I think is probably why Wes Ball got Kingdom. Essentially, a kid who you find out later is called Thomas wakes up in an elevator or a lift going up to, he doesn't know what, he doesn't remember his name, he doesn't anything like that until he gets to a grassy area where a whole bunch of other teenage boys are. And they inform him that they are stuck in the middle of a maze and they cannot get out. And there are also electronic bug things, or everything's trying to kill them. Hit, run, go. Now, did I enjoy Maze Runner more than I thought? Yes. I think Thomas and Noah do have a bit in common, as in that they are that young teenage archetype who is kind of the chosen one. It's kind of like a young man sitting on a desert planet looking at two moons with John Williams score blasting in the background. It is the very common hero's journey. Though within like 24 hours, he's already taken in charge of this young boy tribe and they're already going into the maze and trying to figure out how to get out. That's pretty much the movie. It zips by really quickly. The movie is called Maze Runner and they run. That is a lot of it. I will say the action sequences are really well done. This movie doesn't really give you time to look at any plot holes, where there's, I think Kingdom's actually a pretty solid script, but that movie lets you kind of judge, sit around to judge it a little bit more. Maze Runner, you don't get a chance. By the time you know it, you're in like a lab with a dead, well, not really, spoilers, she's not dead, Patricia Clarkson, and you're at the end of the movie. So much so that you don't actually know a lot of characters, and I've even gotten to mention them. And they actually, this movie has a really cool cast. I mean, you've got Ki Hong Lee from my beloved Wish Upon movie. Do you like multiverses? Are you into multiverses? Will Poulter in an earlier role. Kayla Scolardero from, I think this is just after, maybe she got off from Skins. As I mentioned, Dylan O'Brien, who almost died in the third movie. Thomas Brody Skankster, who I most know from the little boy Liam Neeson's son in Love Actually, and I think he's now on the Artful Dodger. He's in that Artful Dodger show. The movie's fine. I wouldn't exactly say, I mean, it's very rough around the edges, and I think this is at a more of a story and script level. I think Kingdom is much stronger than that, because I think when you look at both movies, you see what Wes Ball is good at, and that is creating a world and keeping it moving. Even though I think Kingdom is very clunky and or chunky, I should say more. It's a very chunky, baggy movie. I think it keeps you going. For me, it kept my interest right to the end. And it did keep you moving in a propulsive direction. Maze Runner does that. And to a point of, wait, what just happened 3 minutes ago? Oh no, we don't know. You're still running over there. It's got some really cool action sequences. I would say the second movie, Scorch Trials, does this even worse. I mean, the whole world is a maze. Let's be honest. It's getting to the point where I didn't realize characters die in that movie. It's constantly them just running, which I guess for concept, and if you're trying to direct your way out of a terrible script and no character development, I think it's a really good way of doing it. And I think Maze Runner, that's what it's doing. It knows that everything is weak. So you just have to keep things moving at a really fast pace and make sure your action sequences are good, which I think Maze Runner does. And I think that's what you could only ask for. And if you do want to watch Maze Runner, sorry, it is actually on Netflix and also Disney Plus. So take your choice. I do actually think this is another Fox thing. So this is a double Fox as well. But I would say for what this movie is and for a genre I don't necessarily always love, this is actually pretty good example of it. A young adult thing has to get in really quick and get out really quick. It has to have a series of possible romance because I guess girls read more. I don't know. It does all that really what it needs to really well. And that's all I can really say. I mean, there's nothing really you can say about The Maze Runner, except I think it's actually kind of fun. We're actually more well directed. And I don't think it got the attention like Hunger Games, because that was a bigger book. Everyone rediscovered the whole gladiator, battle royale, putting teenagers against one another, dystopian society where they put entertainment in front of people's, entertainment's the fast thing, like, you know, the running game. I mean, this is not exactly anything new, but it gets rediscovered and reinvented the same with just like different packaging, but it's essentially the same thing. And that's the Maze Runner. Dylan O'Brien is actually really good. I'm sorry that he almost got run over, because he's actually a really solid leading man. And he's really good in Love and Monsters, which is a movie came out in 2020. Again, a movie that kind of got forgotten because of the pandemic. But check out that movie. He's actually really good in that. And the Maze Runner, yeah, it's fine. I didn't love the second one as well, even though I think it's got some really good character actors in it. If you're going to have an exposition dump, get Lily Taylor to do it, because she's really good. I think I remarked after the screening, I'm worried he's failing up. I don't necessarily think that's exactly true, but I think he's someone to keep an eye on. I think he hasn't gotten there yet, but I think he does have the potential to do something really, really great. And maybe, hopefully, Kingdom will do well and he'll get that chance to spring out his wings a little bit and see what Wes Ball movie looks like when maybe he's not so constrained by people looking at him would be interesting. I think that would be, yeah. Would he go way too over the top with the world building and not enough on everything else? Or we construct something that's a little bit more interesting? Time will tell. But yeah, no, I think, but this has been a Wes Ball episode, something I never thought I would do. There's a new Apes movie, and a new Planet of the Apes movie is always something to celebrate. That's the quickie review. Shock and Awe on all the pods, Shock and Awe 1 or Reading Geek on all the socials, and we will be back with another quickie review. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.